Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
You ready for the word? You got your Bibles? Are you ready for the word? Because I'm about to bring a word. And there's a lot of scripture. So get your Bibles out. Hold your Bibles close by. And because we go and take notes. Remember, bring your notebook, take notes, take screenshots, because we do have slides so that you can take screenshots as well, that you can refer to them afterwards. As you know, we are talking about kingdom. Kingdom. Everybody say kingdom. That word is thrown around quite a lot within the church circles, so we thought we would be unpacking the word kingdom. We are busy with building blocks all through this year, setting a foundation so that we can understand and have a great grid, if I can put it that way, to understand when we say, let heaven invade earth, or let your kingdom come, or if we're talking about revival, or talking about healing, or talking about worship, that we're all on the same path. Our scripture, our very first scripture, is Matthew 6, verses 25 to 33. Matthew 6, verses 25 to 33. And the title in the ESV, English Standard Version, is Do Not Be Anxious. Anybody here anxious? Do not be anxious. Right. Therefore, I tell you, verse 25, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. It's not the life. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Verse 27, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Am I speaking to anybody here? Why are you anxious about the fashion, about clothing? Consider the lilies of the valley, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, verse 29, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Ouch. Therefore, do not be anxious. I mean, that's been said so many times. Saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Verse 32, for the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. I love that verse. Underline that. For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows. He already knows that you need them all. 33, here it comes. The doozy. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What is he saying? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything that we've read from the very top, from verse 25, will be added unto you. Our priorities are a bit warped when we're thinking about all this other stuff and not seeking God or seeking his kingdom or seeking his righteousness. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Help, Holy Spirit. Give us new revelation about kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Who knows that two is a significant number? All right, prophetically, two means open door or double doors, assurance of his promises, keys to the kingdom. What do you think of when you think of two and you think of the Bible? Noah. The animals went in, the elephant and the kangaroo, yes, and all the kids started singing, and the elephants went in two by two, hoorah, hoorah. Anyway, we're not going to go there. For your information, FYI, did you know that God had two sets of two for mankind as well? Talk about doubles. Talk about keys to the kingdom. Two commandments. Love God, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And two priorities. Seek first the kingdom of God and seek his righteousness. Two commandments, two priorities. You see, God establishes two priorities for mankind: kingdom and righteousness. Kingdom referring to the governing influence of heaven on earth, and righteousness referring to the right alignment and positions with that governing authority. It is not coincidental that kingdom and righteousness are in the same sentence and directly after each other, because our highest priority and our greatest desire should be to enter the kingdom of God and thirst for a right relationship with Him. We are talking about kingdom, people. Who knows that if kingdom has to do with governing influence of heaven on earth, then as believers, you and I, we need to know and understand and in obedience to this knowledge, walk as true sons and daughters of the King. Why? Because we are called to impact this world with His world. So let's start by unpacking the word kingdom. The word kingdom is a fusion of two words, king and domain. King, the meaning is a male monarch of a major territorial unit. Domain, an area or territory owned or controlled by the particular ruler or the king. So together, kingdom is the domain or territory over which a king has dominion. Another way of putting this is kingdom is the influence of a king over a territory. Now, the very first thing that we need to know in all of this is this concept of kingdom was not invented by mankind. This kingdom concept was first created or introduced to us by the Creator. It was the first form of government. The kingdom concept is read about in the book of Genesis at creation. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our own image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the air, of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." That includes spiders, ladies and gentlemen. That includes mouses. And for JJ, that includes cockroaches. Let them have dominion, sovereign authority over the earth. So God's plan was for man to have dominion, sovereign authority, extending His heavenly kingdom, His government to the earth, this domain. The picture, the very first picture of the first kingdom is this: Yahweh, the King of Kings, extending His heavenly kingdom to earth through who? His offspring, you and me. What a picture. How cool is that? How amazing is that? So now we know about kingdom. Let's talk about the kingdom of God. Who's the king? God. The domain is heaven or the spiritual realm. So the kingdom of God, we can say, is the spiritual realm over which God reigns as king. That's the kingdom of God. It's important to note, it's not a physical territory. It's important to note, it's not a political entity. It's important to note that it's a spiritual reality. You see, if it wasn't a spiritual reality, you and I would not be sitting here today. This is a spiritual reality. The kingdom of God is from another place, meaning it's a heavenly, supernatural, and eternal entity. And it does not bound by earthly constraints. It's a spiritual realm where God's will is done. Kingdom of God, a spiritual realm. The next scripture we're going to look at this morning, we're going to look at many, is Mark 1, verses 14 to 15. Mark 1, and I'm going to read it to you out of the NIV. Mark 1, verses 14 to 15. And it says, "After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God." This is what Jesus says. "The time has come," He said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." What is Jesus saying? He's saying spiritual reality is present among us. The kingdom of God has come near. Spiritual reality is present among us. Jesus considered this to be good news. Repent and believe the good news. If Jesus considers this to be good news, we should also be considering this as good news. Say to your neighbor, this is good news. Luke 17, verses 20 to 21. Luke 17, verses 20 to 21. Again, I'm reading out of the NIV. Once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because of the kingdom of God is in your midst." Again, reiterating that it is supernatural. It is a spiritual entity. Jesus replies, "The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. You cannot see it with your eyes." The message, I love it. The message says it doesn't come by counting the days. And the Passion Translation says it does not come simply by obeying principles or by waiting for signs. This is a spiritual entity that we're talking about. You cannot also say, "Here it is," or "There it is." In other words, people are not able to distinguish that it has arrived at a certain time. It's in our midst. So when we are up here, or when we are worshiping, we say, "Thy kingdom come," it's His spiritual realm that is busy present in our midst. Now, the context of this scripture in Luke is that the Pharisees were believing that the Messiah's triumph would be immediate. It would be something that they could see, that they would be, that physically they were looking for Him to come so that He would come and He would overthrow Rome and the Roman Empire and set up this millennial kingdom that they were all hoping for. But you see, Jesus' purpose was altogether different. He was launching an era which the kingdom would be manifest by the rule of God in men's hearts through faith in the Savior. It wasn't physical. It wasn't confined to a geographical location. It wasn't visible to human eyes. It was spiritual. So through Mark and Luke, these two scriptures we've read, we establish that the kingdom of God is the supernatural reign and rule of God that is drawn near, drawn to us through Christ, establishing and wanting to establish God's divine will on earth. That's pretty huge, people. That is pretty huge. I've said it once, I'll say it again. The supernatural is more real than the natural. God was here before man was made. God made man. The supernatural is more real than the natural. So the next scripture I want us to have a look at is Matthew 6, verses 9 to 13. Matthew 6, verses 9 to 13. This we know as the Lord's Prayer. But it's not the Lord's Prayer. It's the prayer that Jesus gave us as humanity to pray. Right? It's not the Lord's Prayer. This is not Jesus saying, "Pray this way." And it starts in verse 9, and it says, "After this manner, therefore, pray, our Father which art in heaven." Come on, let's read it together. It's all on the board. "Our Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." This is known as the Lord's Prayer. But this is a prayer that Jesus said that we need to pray. Did you notice something in that prayer? Kingdom is mentioned twice. Just saying. The twos again. So we've got to understand out of this that the king's domain or the kingdom of God is a spiritual realm over which God is reigning. So the power of this prayer should really blow our minds out of proportion. Because what are we doing? We are saying, "Thy kingdom come." We are actually saying in this prayer, "Let the spiritual realm over which you reign as king come." We also say, not my will, but your will be done on earth as it currently is in heaven. That says to me, is there poverty in heaven? Then there shouldn't be poverty here. Is there sickness in heaven? Then there shouldn't be sickness here. Is there mental health in heaven? Then there shouldn't be men, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. On earth as it is in heaven. Bill Johnson prays a prayer, powerful prayer. He says, kingdom come, your will be done. I love it. Everybody say that. Close your eyes and say, kingdom come, your will be done. Do you feel the shift? I just want to say, when you're in a crisis, when you're facing a challenge and you've got no idea what to do, just close your eyes and go, kingdom come. Your will be done. That gives the kingdom of heaven permission to invade your space. It's as easy as that. Now, this scripture is important. Why? I'm glad you're asking. Because like I said, we are actually inviting God's supernatural reign as king to reign where we are. This is important, and I want to highlight it to us today because we know it, but we don't know it. It's got to move from head knowledge to heart knowledge. Folks, there's a lot of scripture that we all know in the head. We can verbalize it. We can have verbal diarrhea. We can just quote scriptures left, right, and center. But my question is, do we know it? Is it living within our hearts? Because when it becomes heart knowledge leads to boldness. Yes? Boldness leads to obedience. Yes? Obedience impacts our future. Correct? And now, when it impacts our future, it impacts the future of those around us. Folks, right there, that is God's kingdom reigning on the earth. Right there. When it becomes heart knowledge, there is boldness. When there's boldness, there's obedience. When there's obedience, it impacts our future. And when it impacts our future, it impacts the future around us. And that is God's kingdom coming to earth. That is heaven invading earth, which is part of God's will and part of his plan. You see, you and I have a responsibility. Look at the person to your left. Look at the person to your right. Look at your own self. And say, you and I have a responsibility and a mandate to release God's kingdom into this earthly kingdom. You and I, every person who calls himself a believer today, a son and a daughter, has a responsibility and has a mandate to release God's kingdom into this earthly kingdom. Here's a newsflash. God has given you all authority on earth. Oh, it's gone quiet. I hear two yips. Let me say that again. God has given you all authority on earth. Authority belongs to the human race. Are you getting this? You as a son of God and a daughter of God have the authority to release God's supernatural, all-powerful reign here on earth. That is why one of our core values at Numa is miracles are normal. Because we should be releasing his kingdom constantly and seeing things turned around. Miracles are normal. God's miraculous supernatural reign is accessible to each one of us. You don't have to strive for it. You just need to release it. It's releasing it. It's our own disobedience and our own fear and our own unbelief that robs us from receiving the things he's already provided for us. Ouch. Say ouch. Our own disobedience, our own fear, our own unbelief. It's that robs us. And we're going to unpack that. We'll unpack that in September. In September, we are going to talk about healing, signs, and wonders. We're going to teach on that. But we'll leave that for September. But I want you to know today that God's desire is for his kingdom and his reign to be released on earth here. And that can only happen. Hear what I'm saying. It can only happen through his sons and daughters releasing it. I'm not seeing miracles. Well, are you releasing miracles? I'm not seeing wonders. Well, are you calling heaven down and trusting for wonders? It comes back to us. It's not JJ. He's the pastor. No. We are sons and daughters. We corporately are sons and daughters of the Most High God. He's just waiting for you and I to exercise our authority. Let me say that again. It's quite obvious. It's really obvious that we don't understand this. It's really obvious that the church, not us, the other people, that the church does not understand this, because most Christians just sit around and wait for God to do the miracle when he might just be waiting for you to exercise your authority that he's already given you. You see, God gave complete authority to mankind. Authority is yours, so authority is mine. Again, Genesis. Let's go back to Genesis. It's going to be on the screen. Then he said, let us make man in our image. Are you made in God's image? Yes, you are. After our likeness. Are you after his likeness? Yes, you are. Let them have dominion. That includes you. Sovereign authority. In other words, there is no restrictions. There is no conditions on the authority God has given you. This physical world is yours to rule and reign over. It says there, it says that over all the earth. All the earth. Say all the earth. Not half of the earth. All of it. And everything in it. There's no restrictions. Psalms 115:16. New Living Translation says, the heavens belong to the Lord, but he has given the earth to all humanity. Ha. Guess what? You can never stand before God and deny that you didn't know this. This is crazy. The heavens belong to the Lord, but he has given the earth to all humanity. Complete authority over the physical world. That includes finances. That includes sickness. That includes animals. That includes insects. That includes weather. Everything, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, everything on this earth is under your authority. But here's what we do. Here's what mankind does. Mankind gives this authority to who? Satan. Seriously. That's exactly what happened with Adam and Eve in Genesis. Go and read about it. God gave them complete authority and they just handed it over to Satan when they obeyed him instead of obeying God. And now, look at this scripture. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, Satan, who is the God of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. Who has the authority now? Satan. He is now the God of this world. Where you had the authority and where Adam and Eve had the authority, they gave it to him. He is now, because of that, the God of this world. Question, who made Satan the God of this world? We did. We completely gave all authority over to him. God did not give Satan authority. We handed it. We allowed him to become the God of this world. And the scary thing is, we still do that to this day. It's gone a bit quiet. Hear what I'm saying. Satan still has no authority of his own. He only has stolen authority. That's a word. That's a word. He has no authority of his own. He only has stolen authority. John 10:10 says, Jesus said this, the thief comes only to steal. Let's stop there. To steal. He comes to steal. That is his job description. To steal, kill, and to destroy. He only comes to steal. So he's a thief and he's a liar. This is important. So every time we hand over our authority to Satan, we make him the God of our world. How do we know we've given our authority to Satan? It's pretty clear in Scripture. Romans 6:16, write this down. You can go and read it at home. Romans 6:16, and I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey? That can be to sin or to righteousness. Scripture says that. I like this. Present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves. Who are you obedient towards? In other words, you are either Satan's slave or you have authority over Satan by obeying God and being God's son or daughter. You become Satan's slave by choosing sin over righteousness. He gave us two things, two priorities, kingdom and righteousness, correct? So here we are. You become Satan's slave by choosing sin over righteousness. Can I be real a little bit? Is that right? Can I be transparent? Okay, you're not making me feel confident here, but I'm going to do it anyway. You see, sin is widely celebrated in our culture today. Amen? And even in the church, capital T, capital C. Unfortunately, if I stood up here and I spoke out against a sin, I would be accused of a hate crime. If you as a believer stood up and spoke out over sin, you would be accused of a hate crime. So because there's this tendency to accuse us of hate crime, what do? We back off from speaking the truth. And we don't live in our righteousness. You see, the danger according to scriptures, if we celebrate sin alongside culture, I'm basically celebrating slavery to the devil. People who are caught in the deception of the enemy. You see, living a life of sin, you give your authority to Satan and you become his slave. It's as simple as that. And it's not what I'm saying. This is what scripture is saying. But can we be more real again? Yeah? We all sin from time to time, correct? Even myself. Oh, what? Oh, the pastor sins? Yeah. Believe me. You see, what is sin? Pride is sin. Gossip is sin. Stealing is sin. Adultery is sin. Wait for it, here it comes. Homosexuality is sin. Oh, he said it. Yes, I did. Murder is sin. You know what? We think that there's different grades of sin. There's a small sin and a big sin. No. Sin is sin to God. Living a life opposite to what God calls you to is sin. But there's a difference between living in sin on purpose continuously and living a life of continuous repentance. When you repent, you turn away from sin and towards God. That's how come in the prayer that Jesus gave us is to forgive us our debts. In other words, forgive us our sins. We are meant to be praying that every single day. There's a difference, people. Living a life opposite to God is what we would call sin. Living a life of continual repentance is where we start living according to righteousness, constantly pursuing righteousness. You know what? You always thought that Satan had some kind of superior power and authority over you. But I love what Andrew Womack said, an American pastor and evangelist. He said, the devil is not using a superior power and authority against us. He's actually using the same power and authority that God gave mankind to rule and reign with over this earth. Boom. Wow. Huge. Huge. We're not here just focusing on the enemy. We are here focusing on the fact that we need to start living, bringing kingdom to earth, and living in our own authority. Newsflash, Satan has no power of his own. He depends completely on mankind to empower him by handing over their authority. How? Through living a life of sin, which according to 1 John 3:4 says is a transgression of God's spiritual law. Satan is absolutely powerless. He is powerless. He's powerless to do anything on this earth unless he gets you and I to cooperate with him. How does he do this? One word, deception. Deception. He can't force you to do anything. He can't make you sin. All he can do is try to deceive you. How does he deceive you? By lying. By planting a lie. That's why he's known as the father of lies. Let me tell you, he's a good liar. Let me tell you, he's really good at deception. He started this right from the beginning. But this is where Ephesians 6:11 comes in, and it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may stand against the wiles of the enemy, the wiles of the devil. The word wiles here literally means deception. Did you know that? Ephesians 6:11, the deception. In other words, Satan's only power is deception. So I want to say to us, stop, quit being afraid. He's a wimp. He's got nothing. He's got no power. He's got no authority. Don't give him your power. And if you're at this point in time, you're thinking, oh my gosh, I don't have any power anymore. I've got no power. I've got no authority. JJ, what are you doing? I want to say, take it back. We can take it back. How do you take it back? Repent. How do you take it back? You repent. What is repentance? Repentance is a sincere turning away in both the mind and the heart from self to God, involving a change of mind that leads to the action of radical turning away from a sinful course back to God. How do I repent, JJ? I wrote a couple of repentance prayers down. Lord, today I choose to repent of my belief that I have to provide for myself and that you don't provide for me. That right there is the deception and the lie. I choose to declare that you are Jehovah Jireh, God my provider, and that you provide all my needs according to your riches in glory. That is the truth. Swap the lie with the truth. Lord, today I choose to repent of my belief that you don't heal, that you withhold healing and you choose to heal some but not others. But today I choose to believe and declare that right there was the lie and the deception, yeah? But I choose today to believe and declare with my mouth that you truly are Jehovah Rapha, God my healer, and you want to see me healed more than I do. That is why you sent your son, that through his stripes, his broken body, I can receive my healing and be healed. The lie? Smash it. Pick up the truth. Live in righteousness. Here's another one. Lord, today I choose to repent of my addiction to pornography or gambling or adultery or alcohol, whatever it is, believing that I'm not worthy, and so I fill my head. That's the lie. I'm not worthy. And so I fill my head and life with the world's ways. Forgive me, Lord. I choose today to declare that you are Emmanuel, God with us, El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. You are God, a good Father, the all-sufficient one. I declare that you are the Lord over my mind, my thoughts, my ways. What am I doing? I'm bringing heaven to earth. I'm bringing heaven into my circumstance. I choose to come in alignment with this word, and I cry out, let heaven invade my world and thoughts. Let your kingdom come in this area and help me, Holy Spirit, to resist the urges and temptation of the enemy, and help me to be strong in this area with resilience from heaven. Repentance. Turning away. What is repentance? Walking in the other direction. It's as easy as that. It's as easy as that. The good news is if you think that you've given your authority to them and you've just prayed a prayer like this, guess what? You've taken your authority back. You've taken it back. But now we sit down and we relax and we pull out the latte and we put our feet up and we think we've arrived and it's going to be cruisy. No, it's not. Do not be deceived. That's where the enemy wants you to be deceived again. Because 1 Peter 5:8-9 says this. It talks about making sure that you are on your toes. Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind. Be vigilant. Everybody say vigilant. And cautious at all times. Here it comes. For that enemy of yours, the devil. Satan remains your enemy. That enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Withstand him. That's another way to say resist him. Stand up against him. Be firm in faith against his onset. How are we firm in faith? We live according to the truth. And how do we live according to the truth? We are rooted, we are established, we are strong, we're immovable, and we're determined. Resist the enemy. How? By being determined to resist his deception. Resist his deception. Continue in the truth of God. Be rooted. How are you rooted? Need to be rooted in this. You need to be rooted in this. This needs to be your foundation. You need to be immovable. You need to be established. You need to be strong. How do you become strong and immovable? You are in the Word. You're in a life group. The young people are attending youth. You're sitting here on a Sunday. You're worshiping Him. You constantly have people around you in your life that are speaking into your life and speaking the truth, helping you to identify the lies that the enemy brings. You see, you've already been set free. You've already been set free from the power of the enemy and sin. How do I know this? Romans 6, verses 7 and 11. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. You've been set free. So you also should consider yourself to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God. You see, when we get saved and believing in Jesus, it's more than just a ticket to heaven. What really happens is you die. What really happens is when you say yes to Jesus. Can I have some more lights, please? I don't know why the lights went down. Maybe God wants to do something right now. But when you say yes to Jesus, you put to death the person who existed before Jesus. You see, and then Jesus comes and gives you a new life. That's why it's called being born again. Your old sinful nature dies. You're born again with the ability to live a life free from sin, bring heaven to earth, live in His righteousness. This is good stuff. Good preaching, JJ. Good preaching. You see, when we walk according to His Word, we walk with His given authority. You have the authority. Genesis, you have the authority. All dominion has been given to you. You have the authority. It's now your mandate, your responsibility, my mandate, my responsibility to stand and say, your kingdom come. In other words, your reign, you reign. That supernatural spiritual reign that you reign. I want to see it reign here. You know that when you stand in an atmosphere that is a bit heavy and you say, kingdom come. Guess what? Boom. It's broken. It's broken. Your will be done in this situation. I was praying today. I prayed for a number of people. But I was praying for a lady today. She's sitting here. I'm not looking at her. I'm looking everywhere else but where she is. And I believe that heaven invaded. And I was just praying for a gentleman who had, he fell on a box, hurt the ribs. And I said to him, I said, heaven invade this space. When I spoke to him, I said, what are you sensing? He said, there's a warmth on my ribs. That's heaven invading. That's the reign of God coming. That's change that is happening. Come on, church. We need to get excited about these things. You see, because you and I are no wimps. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. God's kingdom, and I finish with this. God's kingdom. Can I have the team up, please? Alvin, come and help me make it sound all pretty. God's kingdom is ready to invade earth. It's ready. It's ready. Say to your neighbor, it's ready. Are you ready? Because the way you can be ready is by standing in that authority and saying, your kingdom come, your will be done. So when we pray for somebody, why do we not pray for people who are sick? I can tell you why. Because we're afraid that they don't get healed. You know what that says? You think that you're going to heal them. You're not the healer. Jesus is the healer. All you're doing, the Bible says, is you lay your hands on the sick and heal them. What are you doing? I lay my hands on the sick and I'm calling on heaven. Come down. Kingdom come. Will be done. In this person's life. That's how come we don't have to pray long-winded prayers. It worries me when we're praying for healing and we pray for 15 minutes. So you're praying out of your own strength or trying to pray out of your own strength. Don't have to. We don't have to beg heaven either. It's Tuesday morning at the prayer meeting, prayer power, hour of power. Sorry, hour of power. Tuesday morning, 9 to 10. Be there. There's power there. We gather at Joseph Street. Jeremiah was Jeremiah, we were praying for the building. And Jeremiah took the microphone and he started praying. Well, he didn't take the microphone. He just started praying. And he's like, and God, we don't have to beg you. That's a word. We don't have to beg him. We don't have to beg God to move on our behalf. He wants to move. He wants to move. He's waiting for you to call on heaven and bring God's kingdom to earth. I just want to say this. Let's stop being a wishy-washy church. That church. Let's stop being a woe is me church with all these kind of attitudes. Let's put on the armor of God and be the kingdom warrior that God has created us to be. Bring in the governing influence of heaven into earth, into your world. This morning in closing, I want to do two things. I want to pray for two groups of people. First group that I want to pray for, you could be sitting here today and you go, you know what, JJ, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. I want to say to you today, you know, today's the day. Today's the time for you to come step into relationship with Him. Because God so loved us that He sent His one and only Son, His name was Jesus, to die a painful, ruthless death, to be the ultimate sacrifice, for His body to be broken so that healing could be released, His blood to be shed so that you and I could stand in right alignment, in righteousness with Him, and have a relationship with Him. He did that. He was buried and He was raised back to life. Right now, He's seated on the right-hand side of the Father, busy preparing, interceding for you. You may not know Him yet, but He's interceding for you. And He is preparing a place for you and me and everybody who calls themselves children of God. Church, I need you praying. But if you are here today...
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.